powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Here we go now.
Well, when I'm done accidentally punching myself in the face, to which both of you just laughed.
Stop hitting yourself. Stop hitting yourself.
God, ow. Ow. People still going off, by the way, about the little league player that went up to hug the other player. Curtis and Bump are like, we're over it. Just take your base, man. The 907 says, kid left the base path. Shouldn't he be out? You guys are all horrible.
We were
people.
Talking about how the two teams, one was from Texas and one was from Oklahoma, a natural rivalry.
Naturally.
Right.
And we all thought that maybe the kid should have thrown the horns down after he plunked him. Just like, take your base. Horns down, baby.
Get out of here.
Horrible. All right. Three questions we have for the Seahawks preseason opener this Saturday. Kickoff's at 4 p.m. Pregame show starts at 2 p.m. And before we get to first kick, I'm so used to talking about baseball here. Before we get to kickoff, we got to figure out what we're focusing on and what we're watching here. There's so much happening. So I'm going to start with question number one, the question that we'll be watching during every single game. And into the season, every single practice, it's obvious. It's about quarterback. First question, can Drew Lock outplay Geno Smith?
Can he? Yes, most definitely he can. He's going to have more opportunities to do it too, because if Geno is the starter, we know that the starters aren't going to play as long as the twos and the threes. Will he is the question. Like, we saw him, Stacey, at practice this week, look better. Mm-hmm. The best we've seen him look, more confident, more calm, nice touch on the football, a deep ball, a short ball, running the football. Like, he showed everything in practice to say, okay, this is a real competition. Now, when the lights come on, when you're on television, when guys are trying to tackle you, can you keep that same composure and take it to real life situations? I think he can. It's all about, will he? And then we saw him have his best practices, and who's he throwing it to? 16 and 14. He's not going to get many opportunities to throw to those guys. So, Derek Young, Bo Melton, Freddie Swain, Kate Johnson, Cody Thompson, all you guys got to help this man out and help yourselves out by making some plays.
I think it's also a hugely important question because Geno Smith has the job. It's not about can Geno outplay Drew. It's what can Drew do with the challenge he's been given by the coaching staff to earn the number one spot, right? With Geno, it's like, hey, Geno, you played well for us last year. We like what you can do. You know the material. You know the team. You've got a good relationship with people. Man, you know, it's yours. Roll with it as long as you can keep performing. For Drew to earn it means consistently outplaying Geno, not just like, oh, they're somewhat the same, you know, because if that happens, you're going with a guy, you know, who has a better relationship, who has a type of play we might want. If Drew's going to be your starter, to me, he's going to have to really outplay Geno and do it pretty regularly.
Yeah, what do coaches say? Control what you can control. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what Drew can do. Now, if Drew goes out and plays great, and Geno doesn't look so good, I think week two looks a bit different. They're like, okay, let's work Drew in a bit more. He did what he did with some backups in there. So all Drew has to do is look like a pro. He needs to look like his rookie year when he went, 4-1 as a starter and completed a bunch of passes and look like a starter in this league. But it's going to be tough because it's not like they traded for Drew. They didn't trade for Drew. They traded because Russell wanted out of here and wanted some draft picks and pick up Noah Fant and Shelby Harris in the process. And then you got Drew to go along with that. It'd be different if they were seeking out Drew Lock and said, this is going to be our guy. Mm-hmm. That's not what they were doing. Geno has been here for a while. He's had some success, might not have won a bunch of games last year, but had success on the football field. So it's going to take a lot. Can it happen? I think it can.
All right, next question here. And again, this is a question, go figure, that we're going to be looking at as we head into week one of the regular season. What's the run-pass balance look like? Now, if you guys had to guess, I won't make you guess a percentage, but last year, obviously you had Russell Wilson here. I have the percentage of run plays that Seattle had. Where would you guess they ranked, like whereabouts in the league? Top 10, middle of the road,
as far
bottom
as
10? Run plays.
Run plays?
Percentage of plays that were runs.
Top. I can give you a top. Let's go top 12.
that's close.
For the 12s.
Yeah, for the 12s. For the hood. For the hood.
They were 13. So Seattle,
close.
Yeah. Seattle rushed on 43% of plays, which was still less than in order. Philly, Tennessee, New Orleans, San Francisco. No one's surprised about that. Indy with Taylor. No one's surprised about that. But then you got Arizona in here, Denver, Chicago, Washington, New England ran the ball. They were seventh in the league. So again, Seattle doesn't shy away from the run the way Tampa Bay did, 33%, the way that the Jets did, only ran on 36% of plays. But something tells me we're going to see something that looks a bit more top five, where Indy rounds out the top five at 47%. That's a big jump from 43 to 47.
And we should. I honestly think we should see a top five type of run game because of the quarterback situation. And
top five.
Top five.
That's Jim Harbaugh.
That low-key scared me right now.
Yeah, a little bit. My heart skipped.
With all the stuff happening today, I'm like, oh, dang, what happened? But I think it should be that type of approach because when you look at the quarterback spot and the running back spot, I feel like there's more talent initially at the running back spot to get an offense going. I could see if you got a veteran that came over here, was been a pro bowler. If you were the Denver Broncos who got a pro bowler, you're going to be asked or you're going to expect to throw the ball a lot. But that's not the situation over here. So rely on your young guns, man. You got number 20 and number 9 back there who are going to be ready to go. Ease these quarterbacks into the game, loosen up the defense, ease this offensive line into the game as well. We got a young left tackle. We'll see Abe out there. You got a new center. Your guards are consistent. But that's how you get an offense going.
Question. Now, not one of my questions that are the three questions we're looking at in the preseason opener, but a question related to the second question, which is what's the run-pass balance. Given Rashad Penny's injury history, do you let him get a ton of snaps because you want him to get used to it and get going? Or do you hold him out entirely?
One series.
That's it?
One series, five carries. And you're good.
What about Ken?
Ken, I think he gets 15 to 20 carries.
Okay.
15 to 20. DJ gets 5. Homer gets 5.
Chris and Phoenix texting in to say, Curtis, that terrified me. You can't just spring sound on us like that. All of us are scared.
Watch out. I'll just drop any old
sound.
Don't
you dare, Curtis. All right, last question here.
So, top five.
Curtis! Question number one was, can Drew Lock outplay Geno Smith? Question number two was, what's the run-pass balance? Question number three, as we head into the preseason opener, what's the defense look like at full speed? Bump-wise, this is a hugely important question.
It's important. Just like the run game eases these quarterbacks in, the defense can let the quarterback know it's going to be okay. We got your back. You go out there and you just play football. Now, Jordan Brooks has been banged up this week, so we don't know how much, if we see him at all. So that means
I don't think we will.
I don't think we will. So we'll see Cody Barton in there. But I do want to see the young talent. I think Achenna is going to be fine. Darryl Taylor is going to be fine. I want to see Boye Mafe. I want to see Tyreek Smith. I want to see Tariq Woolen. And I think even with the number ones out, there's still enough speed with those young guys to kind of get an idea of what they want to do with this defense. Jamal Adams, I don't care if he doesn't play. I mean, the guy gets hurt a lot. Don't even put him out there if there's any inkling that something's going to happen. Quandre maybe gets a couple of plays. But when the starters are out, there's some guys fighting for position. So I expect this defense to be flying around making plays.
Yeah, I think the best thing you can have on any defense, first of all, on any team, but especially when it comes to your front seven, is a lot of depth, right? Guys that can be fresh and guys that can get after, the quarterback, because your offensive line has all five guys and ideally they never leave. So when you can get a guy out there who's got fresh legs, man, you're starting to feel good about that matchup if he's pretty elite. And you're not going to have your most elite players playing in the preseason, but it's still a nice test for young guys. I think, though, that this is especially important as a question, too, because one thing they haven't been able to do in camp, touch the quarterback and bring him down and sack him. So whenever you've seen, plays from guys, it's been like, yeah, that was a great pass from Drew, but would he have gotten 5 seconds? Would he have gotten 6 seconds there? Or, Darryl Taylor really had some nice burst around the edge. Would he have been able to wrap him up? You know what I mean? Because there's still guys that are standing out. Like, Darryl Taylor's captured a lot of attention. Uchenna Nwosu, you've mentioned both of these guys, are guys that you notice in camp, but you want to be able to feel that they can finish it.
Exactly.
That they can finish the play, and you don't know that yet. So speed is one thing. Finishing the play is another.
Finish on defense. Run through that man. Take him to the ground. Offensively, you can finish as well, right? Finish your runs. We saw a lot of runs by Rashad and Ken Walker to where we're guessing they're gaining 5 to 6 yards on that play. Mm-hmm. Maybe that 5 to 6 yard gain turns into a 10 to 12 yard gain because they broke a tackle.
Yep.
It's a physical sport. You cannot simulate being tackled. You cannot simulate breaking a tackle. So that's what Saturday is going to do. Like, how physical can this running game be? Mm-hmm. How physical can this defense be?
How about too? Like, I don't want to take the defensive backs out of this. There was at least one play in camp where Sidney Jones, who has a concussion, he probably won't be playing. But Sidney Jones clearly recognized a run play. I don't know if it was play action. I can't quite remember, but he was not fooled, went to tackle, and all you can do is kind of tap the guy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Rashad Penny keeps running for 10 yards after that. So there's moments where you're like, I think that full speed allows you to see a football IQ in a different way. Like, which players are able to nip a play in the bud very quickly before it really gets going and can really save you down in distance situations.
At the moment of truth, can they make that play? I think every DB on this roster right now could be in position to make a play. And that's all you've seen, especially in the run game, our linebackers be in position to make a play. But can you actually make that play? That's where we're going to see separation here.
All right. So those are our three questions. Is there an important one I'm missing? I mean, I've got, can Drew Lock outplay Geno? What's the run pass balance? How does the defense look at full speed? I feel like these, for the most part,
I think we can look at what are the tight ends going to look like.
Oh, yes. You know what? We've been so used to tight ends not actually factoring into this offense that I forgot this. This team does have tight ends, Bump. You're right. They have tight ends on this team. What should we be expecting in terms of who might get the most snaps?
Most snaps are probably going to go to Parkinson and Mabry. I think those two should get the bulk of the snaps. And Colby needs the reps, right? Mm-hmm. A couple of years, he's had the same foot injury, I believe, broke a bone in his foot. Mm-hmm. So we haven't really gotten to see what he can do. Now, we've seen him in practice. He looks good. He's tall. He's big. He put on some mass. He looks ready to go. I think with Noah Fant, there's film on him. You know what he can do. And Uncle Will, you know what he can do. Let these young guys get after it.
All right. Let's get to four down territory.
This is Four Down Territory, brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass. Going inside the game with former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
First down, Bump, a part of the game has been lost. Very sad. So what part is it? And can stars in the NFL revive it?
The part of the game that's been lost has been the kick return game. Punt returns and kick returns. Now, we understand that they changed the rules in the kick return game, so we don't see a lot of those. I get it. I understand it. A lot of injuries have happened there. But the punt return game is still in play. And it's so important because you can change field position in the punt return game. When I was growing up, man, I saw Dante Hall take punts to the house, Devin Hester, Deion Sanders. We used to see names that we know on offense and on defense returning kicks, but NFL getting a little soft. You know, you don't want to risk injury. Well, I understand
first
all that.
Leaguers.
You know, now the NFL.
Bump, no, he doesn't even know where to stop. He's just on a warpath today.
I'm on a mission
Who's
today.
Next?
So, what I want to see, I want to see Tyreek Hill. I want to see Deebo Samuel. I want to see Waddle. I want to see Devontae Smith. I want to see DJ Moore. Like, I want to see guys who can do it, change field position. Now, I'm not saying every single punt return, you get it out there. Earlier, a texter put out there that Doug Baldwin did it. Yeah, Doug did it. But then once he became the Doug that we know, they kind of stayed away from it. So when you need a big play, you put the ball in the hands of the big-time players. Stars, I want to see him return some punts. Let's get it.
I was trying to look up the Devin DuVernay has the most punt returns of 20 or more yards with 6. Someone else whose name is quite literally Gunner for the Patriots, Gunnar Olszewski, has 4. But yeah, it's you just don't see the same. Like, if I were to say who's the best kick returner, who's the best returner in the NFL? 10 years ago, you could name them.
Yep.
I don't know that you'd hear universally the same one or two names from people now.
I have no idea who the best returner is.
I have no idea. I would not have been able to tell you Devin DuVernay is the guy who has among the most punt return yards and averages the most punt return yards, but I digress. Second down. Well, it sure sounds like Tua will not play in the preseason opener. That's still TBD, but leaning heavily towards not playing. Is that the right move?
Now, I understand what Mike McDaniels is doing. These guys, I'm talking about the Dolphins, have had a couple of joint practices. So he feels like Tua has gotten the necessary reps to not play in that week 1. We expect to see him later. Is it the right move? I don't think so. I think this is Tua's last chance to be a real starter in this league. If it doesn't work out this year, he's going to have to sit for a couple seasons and try to figure some things out. And he's got the new weapons. You got Tyreek Hill out there, the fastest guy in the league. You got Waddle. You got Gesicki. You got Chase Edmonds in the backfield. Like, there are so many things that can be figured out, or you can start the process of figuring stuff out in a preseason game. I'm not saying he plays the whole first half, but we got to see it live and real. So I don't agree with it. I understand Mike McDaniel's thinking that he feels like he has seen enough. Now, this guy is an offensive guru. He understands offenses. He did a great job over there with the 49ers. So maybe he has seen enough. But as a consumer, as an analyst, I'm like, look, man, Tua ain't done too much. I want to see him out there when it's real.
The last time a player had, since 1970, the last time a player had three or more return, just kick returns for a touchdown in the same year, two players did it. 2010.
Dante.
One of them a Seahawk.
Devin Hester?
Leon.
Oh, Leon Washington and Jacoby Ford both had three kick returns for a touchdown. This is just kick returns.
Nice.
Is like Jakeem Grant probably the best returner now? But he's out for the year.
He's on there. Yeah, I don't know. Since 2000, the most recent year that anyone even had two. I mean, you had some this year. Obviously, Cordero Patterson's in here from 2015, 2013. But it's really not something that happens a ton anymore. All right, third down. Curtis, let me know if you find me. I genuinely don't know the answer.
Yeah, Jakeem Grant has six total return touchdowns in his career.
Yeah.
Never has had more than one
in a season,
though.
Man, Leon
but
Washington.
It's, yeah, that is an aspect of the game that I miss dearly.
All right, third down. What was the best part of the Seahawks offense in practice yesterday?
Before I answer that, let me say I wouldn't have made it in the NFL if there wasn't the return game wasn't in, you know, in play, so... Big ups all those dudes. All right, offense. What I see yesterday, we saw yesterday, it was performance in the red zone by the offense. Typically, this team has struggled in the red zone, at least at practice. We've seen balls thrown in the back of the end zone to the dirt, a couple interceptions. But yesterday, it looked smooth. We saw DK get some love, Lockett get some love. Both quarterbacks looked efficient in the red zone. And then, I want to get some love to the Lake Stevens kid, Jacob Eason, man. He threw a bomb to Cade Johnson, number 88. Stacey loves that number. Tell him why you love it, Stace.
I said, wow, that guy looks really small for a tight end.
Well, Michael Irvin wore 88.
I just had to
see numbers like, oh, matter.
They do. Small receivers can't wear 80s.
See, you're for, coming well, around
but now
to why.
I'm like, okay, Doug Baldwin can wear 89. That makes sense. I get it. Even though he wasn't originally 89, but it's fine. But something about seeing 88, it's because Jimmy Graham wore it maybe. I don't know what it is, but something about seeing 88 on a smaller receiver, I was like, it doesn't make sense. And then he got a touchdown, and I was a fool.
See, now you know why Bump and I are so passionate about jersey numbers.
I get it now. I get
for
it.
Certain players.
Now, but you are apparently not passionate about reaching out to ask for permission to wear the jersey number.
Not if the dude is still playing and winning Super Bowls. No, thank you, sir.
Okay, fine. Fourth down. What's the defense doing schematically that has you most excited?
Now, we all know that they're going to this 3-4 defense. We've been talking about it all offseason, but I saw some things this past week that got me excited, and it is the way they are using Jamal Adams. I saw this package to where there's a two safety, there's a nickel in there, and Jamal Adams is on that second level playing that linebacker position. Could be a dime, depending on what they call it. And he was aggressive. They were sending him from the second level. Now, what that does, it makes a quarterback account. He goes out there. He sees number 33 in the box and now the number 50-something next to him. He's like, look, something's going on here. They're going to bring some pressure. And then from there, you can play these mind games. You can fake the pressure, drop him out into coverage in the flats. And I love him in the flats because he's such an instinctive type of player inside the box. I think the further he is away from the box, he can still cover, still make some plays. Mm-hmm. But that's not what he likes to do. He likes to be around the ball and be around the chaos. He operates calmly in the middle of chaos, and that's what I love about him. So they're going to be more aggressive. They're going to put him in multiple positions, allow them to be more diverse with their blitz packages. I love how they're using Jamal Adams.
Question for you guys, bit of trivia here. It's just true or false. True or false, a player in NFL history has had Yeah, I mean, this is most kick returns for a touchdown in a single game. After two, when it goes down to one, just don't even have it on the list. Just have it, like, that's it. It's done. There is no, like, if you get one, that's really awesome. But,
yeah,
like, the stat itself is for multiple.
Hundreds tied for second place with one.
No, seriously, that's exactly what it is. It's just you keep scrolling until the end of time, and it's like, okay, so this is every single person who's ever had one.
Right.
What I'm interested in is the eight or so people here who have had two. Devin Hester, obviously one of them. Ted Ginn Jr., Josh Cribbs, Leon Washington, Ron Brown, Travis Williams, Timmy Brown, Tyrone Hughes, Chad Morton, Andre Davis.
A kick return changes the game, too. Typically, mm-hmm. when you score a touchdown on special teams, you win that game. It's like, it's not free points, but it's points you don't account for.
Well, it's, you can't, I mean, I'm thinking back to, when was that game against the Saints? We're pretty early in the game. It just feels like momentum leaves when it was not Alvin Kamara, but it was a Saints returner who got a punt return for a touchdown.
Yeah.
And it was just a hot mess. And that was a game in which the Seahawks just kept hurting themselves. I'm pretty sure that was Chris Carson's fumble, which was then returned for a touchdown. But yeah, you're right. It swung the momentum early, and the Seahawks just could not bounce back. Deontay Harris, yeah. And the Seahawks just could not bounce back.
And Geno started that game, right? Did Geno start that game?
Against the Saints? Yeah. I think the mm-hmm. Saints,
I think
Jacksonville.
That was a different Saints game. That game Geno started was the Monday nighter this last year. The Saints
game wasn't won this last year.
Was the Teddy Bridgewater game.
Oh, yeah.
But the Saints did win that game.
Both games not going the Seahawks' favor.
Yeah. All right. We are heading into the final half hour here. We've got two fun games planned. What I need to know coming up at 45 after, get your texts into the Mac and Jack's text line. Any question you have. Any question, text it now, 206-421-3776. First, though, we're heading to the station for Hype Train.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, get your questions in for What I Need to Know. Coming your way in 15 minutes, 206-421-3776. That's the Mac and Jack's text line. Any question, send it in now. For instance, I've got someone asking about some bars near the stadium for Monday night against the Broncos. I'm assuming Monday night against the Broncos. Some stuff about World Series celebrations. It can be anything. Text it in now. 206-421-3776. Mac and Jack's text line. It is Thursday, and that means we're heading to the station for Hype Train. Curtis, let's go. All right, here we go, getting started ahead of a new Mariners road trip with exactly the same Hype Train I have ahead of every road trip. It's not just going to be that the Mariners are going to sweep their series against the Rangers. This is the Hype Train. Tell me if you're boarding. Bump, we'll start with you. The Mariners will finish this road trip. All AL West opponents, three games on the road against the Rangers, Angels, and A's. Over 500.
Serious. You serious? You know I'm getting on that thing. I'm getting on it.
It's just a nice little train ride.
They better get on. Yeah, I mean, they better. Come on, 500. You got the Rangers, the Angels, the A's. Take care of business. Do what you're supposed to do. Julio's going to be back. Guys are getting healthy. Castillo's against Ohtani. Kirby's going to find his groove. Pause. All right, what did they say? Good vibes only.
Good vibes only.
Let's go.
All right, the Hype Train, a very easy one, a comfortable one. The Mariners will finish this road trip against three AL West opponents with a record over 500. Not like season record. I mean, they'll be over 500 on the trip.
Stacey, you know how this Mariners team is going to be traveling from city to city on this road trip?
Mm-hmm.
By train. That's right.
It's a long trip.
The train ride to Texas is going to be the worst of them all. It's going to take like 48 hours to get there. In fact, they had half the team left in the middle of that Yankees game. They're going to get there right at first pitch tomorrow. But yeah, the Mariners are definitely coming away with a plus 500 road trip against these three teams. I think they go, what is it, a nine-game road swing?
I think nine.
I think they go 6-3.
Nice.
Mark it down.
Okay.
6-3. Stacey, what do you?
I'm also boarding this one. No hesitation whatsoever. I feel pretty confident about it. The only thing that kept me from being more bold is that they're going to sweep the series or only lose two. Just felt like a little too complicated.
I thought you were coming with the sweep, and I was going to say no because they usually do. And I say no, I was ready for it, but then you hit us with the 500. All right.
Next type train into the station. Tom Brady is absent an excused absent from Buccaneers training camp. Now, head coach Todd Bowles spoke with reporters earlier today and said, look, we expect Brady back after the August 20th preseason game against the Tennessee Titans. This is important. And probably week one. Should be back by week one. Which caused, obviously, the NFL world to hold its collective breath and say, you mean Tom Brady might not play week one? This is the Hype Train. Tell me if you're boarding. Bump, we will start with you. Tom Brady will play week one.
I'm on that train. Of course he is going to play week one. Because like Nate Dogg says, nobody does it better. It's Tom Brady. Come on now. He's going to show up. This is last hurrah. This is it for Tom. This is it. He's get, what is he, 44 now? It's just time to go. This is it. You got your weapons. You did lose a center. Mm-hmm. Your other center got hurt, but it wasn't nothing major. It was just cramps. Everyone thought that something bad happened. But this is it for Tom. He's going to show up. He's going to ball out.
All right, Curtis, the hype train is that Tom Brady will be back by week one. Bump says, yeah, not a problem. Two trains in a row for Bump. How about you?
I am getting on this train as well. And I'm going to tell you why, because no 45-year-old in their right mind wants to go through a training camp. No 45-year-old wants to go through a preseason. Tom's like, eh, I'll see you guys when I see you. He'll be back by week one. The Bucs are going to be fine. I will say, though, it has been kind of odd, the whole Tom Brady saga in Tampa Bay over the last few months. He retires, and then Bruce Arians retires, and then Tom Brady's like, all right, I'm coming back. And now this... Something's amiss in Tampa.
It's called leverage.
Yeah.
He's got all of it.
I'm boarding the train. I think he plays week one. I think that we're all panicking about something we don't need to panic about, but it is what it is. Next hype train into this station. All right. Well, we know that Kyle Lewis was struggling. The team demoted him, sent him down to AAA Tacoma to get in some more work while they activated Dylan Moore. Now we're waiting to see Julio be activated, in which case Kelnick could very well be sent down. But hear me out on this hype train. Now, we could see Jared Kelnick sent to AAA Tacoma before we even have a chance to see it. But the point of hype train is it's got to be kind of fun, right? You got to have some fun bold ones in here. Jared Kelnick will hit a home run in the series opener against the Rangers.
I'm on that train.
Wow.
I'm on that train.
Wow.
It seems like he does better on the road than at home.
Okay.
Last time he was on the road, they were in the boogie down Bronx. He goes yard. So now you're going down to Tejas. He's going to go yard. Come on, Kelnick. I'm rooting for you, baby. Back in the day, what was that, 2 years ago, a year ago, whenever. I'm like, call him up early. Let's get this thing done. I was rooting for you. I'm still rooting for you. But I'm dying a little bit inside, JK. Come on, I need you.
The hype train is that Jared Kelnick will hit a home run in the series opener against the Texans, against the Rangers. Bump is boarding that train. Curtis, are you?
I believe, if I've heard correctly,
there's a chance he doesn't even play.
Yeah. Well, I think he might, because I've heard that Spencer Howard, a righty for the Rangers, might get the start tomorrow. And boy, you look at Howard's numbers. He's got an ERA of 7.41 this year in 8 starts. A career ERA in 29 starts of 7.09. He's allowed 12 home runs in just 37 innings pitched this season. If there were ever a time for Jared Kelnick to get right against a single pitcher, it is this guy, Spencer Howard, who is garbage. He is basura. So I will be right there with you, Bob. And Jared Kelnick goes yard tomorrow. Spencer Howard is terrible. So Kelnick's got to do something against him.
All right. I'm not boarding this train.
Wow.
I know. I'm sorry. I want to be able to. I guess I'm just going to be just a party pooper here and ruin everything.
Yeah.
But I want to get to the next one, so that's why I'm rushing through here. Best of luck to Jared Kelnick. I hope I'm wrong, actually. All right, next hype train into the station. Now, this one stems from a hilarious quote sent to us from one Curtis Rogers, which is that Antonio Brown's biggest regret in his career is that he'll never get to see him play. Yes, quote, my biggest regret is that I'll never get to see me, Antonio Brown, play a game live. Sure, I can watch the game afterwards, but I can't imagine what it was like for you all to see something like that, like watching the Beatles or Jesus perform at Red Rocks.
My goodness. I used to like him, too.
Well,
I used to like him.
Funny that you say that, Bump. This is the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding. Antonio Brown is a top 2 receiver of the last 10 years.
The last 10?
Last 10.
Remember, he had 6 years
That's
where he
I'm
had
saying.
Over 100 catches, over 1,000 yards.
Yes.
Top. I'm on the hype train. He is,
You
man.
Have to be.
He is. That, this is where you separate personal feelings and you just look at the numbers, what this guy did, and at the size he did it at.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely impressive. I blame, who was that, the linebacker that knocked him out and gave him that
contest? Vontaze Burfict. Mm-hmm.
I blame him for the guy we see today because he was special, man.
All right. Now, Curtis, keep in mind you have a couple choices. Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald, Demaryius Thomas, T.Y. Hilton,
top
Mike Evans.
Top two receiver of the last decade?
Top two receiver of the last 10 years. So, for instance, Mike Evans has taken off. But yeah. Obviously, that doesn't encapsulate
I'm a
the
big
entire
Mike
10
Evans
years.
Fan,
the hype train is that Antonio Brown is one of the best two receivers of the last 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, Bump, you mentioned just the staggering stat totals he put up in Pittsburgh. And I think he was routinely over 1,500 yards during that stretch every single season. I mean, it stinks how he has sabotaged the end of his career the way he has because he was a first ballot Hall of Famer for sure.
Yep.
Now, I don't even know if he gets in, and if he does, he's going to have to wait some time. But the talent is undeniable. I would say that Antonio Brown, yes, is a top two receiver over the last decade. The problem is that if he doesn't make it to the Hall of Fame, he only has himself to blame because what he did on the field should have outweighed what he's been off the field. Unfortunately,
yeah.
He's just been such a headache to cover.
And can we ignore what they are off the field? We're talking about football when it comes
to
the Hall
true.
Of Fame. Like,
that's
come
true.
On, man.
Also, listen to this. Over a span of 10 years, this was, it's not fresh information. It was over a span of 10 years since 2010. Julio Jones has the most receiving yards by a wide receiver with 13,330. Guess who's number two?
A.B.
One Antonio Brown yep. with 12,291. Hopkins behind him, followed by Larry Fitzgerald, A.J. Green rounding out the top
bad
five.
News about my Spencer Howard prediction, as pointed out by the 509.
Mm-hmm.
He was placed on the IL today. So,
there goes
that. Also, another person pointed out, won't Kelnick be sent down when Julio gets activated?
Well, no, that's what I was saying, is we might not even see him on Friday, because Julio's expected to be back Friday.
He is.
But I got to be
you
bold.
Know what?
Yeah,
he's still going to do it.
He's going to go yard in Tacoma.
Right?
He's going to do it in Tacoma.
You didn't specify which stadium
exactly.
he would
or
go
state,
yard in.
Or state.
Yeah.
All right. That'll do it for Hype Train this hour. Bump and Stacey brought to you by Mazda of Everett. I didn't get to my last Hype Train was that Little League Baseball needs more hugs, but I'll leave that one out since I know that you guys are just going to fight me on that one. All right. What I need to know coming your way next. Get your questions in. Any question you have to the Mac and Jex text line. Text it now. 206-421-3776. Your questions, our answers, next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
It is What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Get your questions in. Any question to the Mac and Jack's text line, 206-421-3776. What I Need to Know, which brand name product is Head and Shoulders better than generic? I'll go first. Kraft mac and cheese. That's not mine. That's the listener's submission.
That is a good pick.
That is a good pick, though.
Grey Goose. Get loose off the Grey Goose. I mean, the Kirkland ain't bad, but it's nothing like that Grey Goose.
When you know there's a difference, my answer is I have never in my life had a knockoff generic Oreo that tasted as good as Oreo.
Yeah.
Oreo's got the lockdown on a cookies and cream flavor that, like, when you taste it, you're like, it's Oreo. But that's not any other flavor. It's Oreo.
Recently, we were forced to purchase name brand peanut butter because they were out of the store brand kind, which is normally what we get when we're out shopping. But we bought a jar of Skippy the other day, which... Is it
generic.
Who goes Skippy or Jif? I mean, is there like
I always buy Jif.
Yeah. Well, we went Skippy.
Yeah,
you're a Skippy family?
We go Skippy.
We're normally a store brand family, if
two
you let
Skippy
me.
Families.
We're normally a store brand family, but that Skippy tastes so much better than store brand peanut butter.
Bump,
it's not even close.
Might this blow your mind? From the 360, Kirkland brand vodka is actually made by Grey Goose.
Yeah.
Lies. Nope. My brain, it makes no sense. I need the presentation. I need the Grey Goose.
Oh, this is a good one. Nothing matches up with Diet Coke. Yeah. Like, there are certain brands.
Like store brand colas?
Yes. There are certain brands where you're like, Dr. hey, K. No disrespect, but it is not the same. What I need to know, Bump, how hard is it to run a good jet sweep? And do you think we'll see the Seahawks use DK for a jet sweep? And if not, why not?
How hard is it? It's not hard if you practice it. Those are one of the things that you can't just say, all right, guys, I know yeah. we didn't practice this all
jet
week.
Jet sweep time.
But we're doing it. And we'll DK, I think we'll see it a little bit, but he shouldn't be your jet sweep guy. Your jet sweep guy should be D. Eskridge. If he's healthy, let's go, baby. And Freddie Swain to get the defense moving right or left. And then you go up top to DK once they bite on it.
That's so weird. That's what Curtis and I were going to say to that
yeah,
question.
Yeah, our
so
wide receiver camp.
We talk about jet sweeps all
that's
the time.
Actually where Stacey's going yeah. this upcoming weekend.
Yes, I actually teach for jet sweeps that when you grab, when you're mm-hmm. handed the ball, you extend your arms like yeah. an airplane. And then that's how you actually
thus
try to gain yardage. That's the jet sweep. Yeah, yeah. So it's the Seahawks don't
make a,
do it that
when you
way,
get the handoff, you got to make a whoosh yeah. sound like you're taking off.
And then you have to, when you land, you have to literally yeah. kind of like descend.
If they mic'd up these players in NFL games, you'd yeah. hear, you know, guys like Deebo Samuel mm-hmm, as mm-hmm, they're running mm-hmm. with the ball.
Yes. And you actually, you signal the jet sweep as the quarterback by doing kind of like the, like you're holding
the
up
air
to
traffic controller.
The air traffic control things. It's
how
just
are
kind
you
of like
guys getting
stuff.
This inside information? This is crazy.
Look, we don't want to give away our sources.
We don't need to give away our sources, Curtis. So shh. Yeah,
my bad.
All right. What I need to know. Should the Mariners be using Flexen as an opener for Marco as well as pitch in the bullpen? Because Marco is rough to start games, but awesome after.
Curtis?
Curtis?
I wouldn't be opposed to it. Let's say that. Yeah, I mean, I will be very interested to see if Marco struggles his next time out or next couple times out, if the Mariners may have some regret about moving Flexen to the bullpen so soon. Now, we did talk about how Marco's stuff doesn't really translate to bullpen work, but
yeah.
look, would you rather have Chris Flexen right now for a 5-6-inning start or Marco Gonzalez for a 5-6-inning start, then you hand it off to the bullpen? Right now, I'm going Flexen.
What I need to know, I don't have tickets, but a few of us want to be near the stadium for Monday night. I'm assuming they mean Monday night versus the Broncos. What's the best bar to watch the game?
Best bar I know is my boy, Tom Sprague Moonshine. He also hit a hole-in-one.
It's called Moonshine?
Moonshine. It's called Moonshine. He hit a hole-in-one the other day. I was with him, so I vouched for him.
Wow.
He's a horrible golfer, though.
Did he get a 77?
I like the idea. Like, did he
shoot
a 77, though?
Shoot a 77.
Yeah.
Bump, that is three times this week.
Let's go. Moonshine. Go to Moonshine.
God. Yeah, I haven't been to any bars around the stadium in a minute.
The Mariners are opening theirs up in yeah. a couple of weeks. I would imagine they will be open on Seahawks game days.
Sluggers is solid. I like Sluggers.
What I need to know, why can't UW football keep phenomenal in-state recruits home?
Gotta win.
Win in that yeah. NIL money.
Yeah.
That alum, y'all need to come together. Come on now.
Because I also don't think that unless you're like a legacy family, I don't have the same, like, loyalty to your program, to your school, that you might think people should owe that school.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's in-state, if my parents didn't go there, like, that's how I felt about UW. I was like, well, if my parents didn't go there and, like, none of my family went there, I'm choosing, and I'm not even an athlete, I'm choosing this school because, like, I don't know, a friend's going. So in-state is a nice advantage to stay home and close to family, but you got to do so much more work if you're not winning.
Yeah.
What I need to know, if they exist as chicken nuggets, are dinosaurs really extinct?
Wow.
Are dinosaurs really extinct? That's a question?
Well, yeah. They said if they exist as chicken nuggets, because they have dino nuggets, are dinosaurs really extinct? Well,
no, because they're chicken nuggets.
Yeah,
and
also,
that's chicken.
Let's see. Is there a chicken nugget-shaped World Series banner for the Mariners?
If so, can we make one?
Yeah, I'll make one, absolutely. All right, you guys, that was what I need to know. And this has been Bumpin' Stacey. I am out tomorrow, so it's the boys holding it down for 3 days in a row. I'm really upset that you guys are going to hang out and bond
and have a lot
like
of fun
bro
without
time.
You.
I'm really mad.
And
I'm really upset
to
about
hang
it,
out
but
with Bump.
It's going to be
We're
a great
it down.
Show. It's going to be a great time. All right, this has been Bumpin' Stacey on Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. Wyman and Bob coming your way next.